Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems Q4 and year 2017 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Gaurav. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Stanford. On behalf of our system, I welcome all participants to Q4 and 2017 earnings conference call. I am Kumar Gaurav, AVP Finance and Accounts. Joining us today on this call is Mr. Reki Singh, Managing Director, Lieutenant General Baldev Singh, President and Senior Executive Director, Mr. Avirajan, Director and CTO, and Mr. Nand Sardana, CFO. We will start the call with opening remark on the performance of the company by Mr. Reki, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand and business overview by Avira. Then we have a closer statement by Mr. Reki. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Now, I am going to read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statement. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, actual results, or otherwise. Actual result, performance, or achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. I am now handing over to Mr. Reki for his opening comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being part of this investor call for the fourth quarter and year 2017. First of all, I would like to present an overview of our systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us in this conference for the first time. Our system was established in 1993 in California as a software engineering company and is now spread across three continents with 15 development and service centers worldwide. Our system now delivers digital transformation services with innovation and creativity to businesses in various industries, telecom and digital media, healthcare, finance, manufacturing, supply chain, retail, and e-commerce. Our deep industry domain knowledge, combined with our expertise in big data, advanced analytics, mobility, IoT, and cloud, help in transformation of businesses in this digital age. The value we help create is comparable to the oyster delivering the pearl. The oyster pearl metaphor lies at the heart of all that we do for our stakeholders and is reflected in our tagline, caring, innovating, and transforming. It is this value-centric philosophy that helps us win new customers across the world. During the year 2017, we reported revenue of rupees 593 crores, that is US $91 million. Our revenue was higher in rupee terms, and in USD terms, it grew by 4% over 2016. The EBITDA for the year was rupees 35 crores, which is 6% as against 12% last year. Profit after tax was rupees 24.4 crores as against rupees 53.7 crores last year. The margins were impacted because of the strengthening of the INR, delay in execution of certain projects. We have invested in new technologies and sales activities and are optimistic for the future. We served $21 million plus customers during 2017, including four customers contributing US $3 million plus revenues. We added 16 key customers, out of which at least four have a potential to be USD million dollar plus accounts. Telecom and digital media continues to be our largest industry vertical, with 26% shares of revenue. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of Rs. 303 crores and cash and bank balances of Rs. 160 crores. I will now hand over to Nand Sardana, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Reki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of quarter four and the year 2017. I'll first give my comments on the financial performance, which will be followed up by Avirag's comment on the operation, and then final summing up by Mr. Reki, and then Q&A session. The presentation gives details of both quarter four and year 2017. I'll quickly cover quarter four and then move to year 2017. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was Rs. 155.52 crores or $24.01 million, quarter-on-quarter increase of 7.84%. It is mainly due to volume increase. We added 5 key customers during the quarter. Getting down to gross margin, it was 30.77% in quarter 4 compared to 29.87% in previous quarter, an improvement of 90 basis points. Improvement in gross margin percentage is mainly due to improved utilization as offset by provision for retirement benefits and year-end provisions. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter-on-quarter by Rs. 5.56 crores. It was Rs. 37.52 crores in this quarter compared to 31.96 crores in last quarter. The increase is mainly due to increase in sales and marketing costs, year-end provisions, and reversal of doubtful debt in previous quarter. EBITDA in this quarter was Rs. 10.34 crores or $1.60 million compared to Rs. 11.32 crores or $1.75 million last quarter, and Rs. 19.69 crores or $2.92 million in quarter 4, 2016. As percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 6.65% in this quarter compared to 7.81% in previous quarter and 12.83% in quarter 4, 2016. Reduction in EBITDA is due to increase in SG&A as offset by improvement in gross margin, as I explained just now. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was Rs. 3.08 crore compared to Rs. 3.01 crore in previous quarter. Other income in this quarter was Rs. 4.94 crore compared to Rs. 1.49 crore in last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and exchange gain. Increasing exchange gain is mainly due to mark-to-market gain on forward covers. Our tax expense was Rs. 4.12 crore in this quarter as against Rs. 3.32 crore in last quarter. Net profit after tax was Rs. 8.12 crore or $1.25 million compared to Rs. 6.43 crore or $1 million last quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is 66 paisa compared to 52 paisa last quarter. Coming on to yearly numbers. Revenue for the year was Rs. 592.64 crores or $91.01 million compared to Rs. 588.24 crores or $87.55 million last year. The yearly revenue is impacted by acquisition of rupee. In USD terms, revenue has grown 4%. We added 16 key accounts during the year and full impact of these clients will come next year. Gain of the gross margin was 30.86% in the year 2017 compared to 34.85% last year, a reduction of 4.49%. The reduction in gross margin is mainly due to impact of selling increases, delay in execution of certain projects, investment in new technologies, and strengthening of the INR. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses have increased by Rs. 11.05 crores. It is Rs. 144.93 crores in this year as against Rs. 133.88 crores last year. In percentage terms, SG&A was 24.46% this year compared to 22.76% last year. Main reason for increasing SG&A's are investment in sales and marketing, provision for doubtful debt, new SEZ unit expenses, and increase in actual visa costs. EBITDA in 2017 was Rs. 34.97 crores or $5.37 million compared to Rs. 71.13 crores or $10.58 million in last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 5.90% this year compared to 12.09% last year. This year, EBITDA margin was impacted by strengthening of the INR, delay in execution of certain projects, investment in new technologies, sales activities, and infrastructure. Now we have sufficient bandwidth to absorb additional 10 to 15% incremental growth without incurring significant SG&A. We are committed to bring EBITDA back to double digits. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 11.97 crore this year compared to 11.51 crore last year. Interest expenses is rupees 30.8 lakh in this year compared to rupees 13.60 lakh last year. Other income in 2017 was rupees 14.96 crores compared to rupees 11.57 crores last year. This year we had an exchange gain of rupees 5.67 crores compared to rupees 4.19 crores last year. During the year, rupees fluctuated between 63.65 to rupees 68.33 against USD and rupees 68.10 to rupees 77.41 against euro. These are two main currencies for our system. As at December 31st, we have total power cover of $10.25 million with average rate of 66.68 and euro cover of $2.95 million with average rate of 78.33, which have already been marked to market at closing rate of 31st December. Further, the other income was augmented by interest income of rupees 5.98 crore this year compared to rupees 5.68 crore last year. Our tax expense was rupees 13 crore this year as against tax expense of 22 crore last year. Effective tax percentage for 2017 is 34.98 as against 29.07 during last year. Net profit after tax was rupees 24.48 crore or $3.76 million compared to rupees 53.69 crore or $8 million last year. Getting down to the asset side in the balance sheet. Total receivable at the end of December 31st were rupees 120.81 crores compared to 108.22 crores at the end of last year. The receivable in terms of DSO were 55 days as at this close of this year, which is same as last year. Cash and bank balances were rupees 160.72 crores compared to rupees 120 crores as at the end of last year. We have been constantly generating cash from the business, which is reflecting in higher cash balances. Our system shareholder fund were rupees 303.31 crores at the end of this year compared to 277.97 crores at the end of last year. With that, let me hand over to Abhiraj for review of operations.
Thank you, Nan. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. I would like to give you a flavor of our global operation and customers that we are engaged in. We continue to focus on key verticals like telecom, banking, healthcare, manufacturing, and logistics. Retail and e-commerce, we have been actively participating in various industry forums, events, and investing a lot in these verticals. We are further strengthening our technical abilities in analytics, mobility, IoT, cloud. We have also created an offering in RPA. We have done a partnership, one of the leading RPA provider, and developing good skills in that. In mobility area, we work on all the leading platforms like Android, iOS, hybrid. We work on with enterprise client as well as apps in different areas in the verticals that we operate in. In analytics, we have been working on it for last 3 years, invested heavily. We developed an aggregation platform, which is now ready, and we see good traction in that for our existing and new clients. In the cloud area, we work on all the leading platforms again, like Salesforce, Microsoft, and AWS, Amazon, and we have some good customers in this space already. In terms of new clients, we have added 5 key clients, 3 from the US and 2 in Singapore space. One of them is in the OPD space that we operate in, is a leading healthcare company. And they have engaged our system to do BI work, business intelligence, and business process reengineering for them. Second one is for our BPO space. Our BPO is also doing a lot of customer analytics, and this customer is one of the leading providers. They have engaged our system for customer experience management. Another client is a U.S. Retailer giant, and they have engaged our system to do innovation for them in space of
you know, to increase efficiency in supply chain space. And two clients we have added for Microsoft CRM, Dynamic CRM by Hybris, our Singapore entity. In terms of headcount, we ended at this year by at 1994, against 1974 last year. So there is a growth of about 20%, not a big growth, but we did some growth there. In terms of utilization, utilization was actually last year impacted because of new customers and delay in some projects. On an annual basis, US contributes 56%, Europe 19%, Southeast Asia 20%, and rest of the world 4.3%. On our annual client concentration, top 10 clients give us 34%, and the largest client 86%. With that overview, I give hand over to Mr. Rishi for his closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Abhirag. Let me sum up. During 2017, we continue to navigate our customers towards their digital transformation by simplifying their operations through our state-of-the-art solutions using advanced analytics, machine learning, and artificial intelligence and IoT. Our product engineering services have also moved up in value chain, where we are serving legacy businesses as well as next-gen businesses towards their digital transformation. However, we had challenges as our margins have shrunk primarily due to rupee appreciation, delay in execution in certain projects, investment in new technologies, and sales activities. However, we expanded our infrastructure by adding new SEZ facility at Greater Noida during early 2017. We continue to invest in building digital capabilities around analytics, cloud, mobile, and IoT around our focused verticals. We are committed to improving our margins by delivering profitable growth with discipline and execution. Our strategy for 2018 is to leverage our digital capabilities for profitable growth. We continue to be customer-centric to bring innovation and value. We are maintaining a strong balance sheet to invest both for organic and inorganic growth. That brings us to the end of our presentation today. And I will hand you back to the organizers for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. We take the first question from the line of Mohan Krishnaswamy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats. Good to see some healthy quarter-on-quarter growth. We've seen about 7% growth this quarter. But in terms of our scale and size and getting the right kind of cost structure to get margins also, I mean, don't you feel it is clearly a tough task to get revenue growth and keep investing and get the margins in place, because we are seeing the bigger companies actually managing this transition from legacy business to digital fairly smoothly without any hits on margins. But very small companies are facing margin problems. So does it make sense to revisit our strategy of aligning or something with some similar size companies at some point?
Thank you, Mr. Swami, for the question. See, as we have explained, Mr. Ekir also explained, I also explained, During this quarter, there are two, three things have happened. First is, as everybody knows, the rupee had appreciated compared to last year, and it had around 2% impact on our margins. This is one. Secondly, this year, we had some delay in execution of two of the projects, one out of our European subsidiary and one in NIDA. And because of that, we had, this margin challenge. Thirdly, though we have grown in USD terms around 4%, but in rupee terms, as you have seen, the growth has been muted. And lastly, during this period, what has happened is that we had comparatively less utilization compared to last year. You know, we added, as you have said in our presentation, 16 clients. So what happens is, few of the clients were added during last quarter. So in anticipation of those clients, you have to start recruiting candidates, and it takes some time. And in the last quarter, some of the got, work got postponed. So a mix of all these reasons has resulted in reduction in EBITDA from 12% to 6%. Also, as we have said, repeatedly that we are investing in newer technologies, mobility analytics, and, it takes some time to reap the benefit. We have added a lot of sales guys in aligning with these newer technologies, which has started giving results during the, second half of this last year. But more is going to come in years to come. Having said that, I understand this concern is very genuine. We are committed to get to the double-digit EBITDA terms, as I said, Mr. Reddy has also said. So hopefully, I think, Mr. Reddy, you want to add something?
Yes, Mr. Krishnaswamy, you also said that we should align with some companies. I presume you mean we could probably acquire a company in those areas.
Yeah.
And that is something which we are actually seriously looking at and planning to do that.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think that's the way forward, I guess, because the space is fast evolving and individual companies may not be able to get all the matrices in one go. So maybe it makes sense to align with similar companies. Fair enough. Yeah, I'll come back in the queue for further questions.
One more point, Mr. Swamy, I want to add. If you see this quarter, we are now close to 24 million. So though our revenue is 91 million, but hopefully we are at a 24 million run rate.
Yeah.
And with 24 million run rate, I think we can, into 4 is like 96. And Sir Reki also said we are actively looking at some acquisition also. So
sure.
This is one area we are focusing on. But I think Q4 2015 we were 22.8, but we are now at 24 million run rate.
Sure, sure. And our reason for conserving cash is in light of potential acquisitions, because we've
yes.
neither declared
yes.
dividends or the usual buybacks we do a couple of years. So
yes.
So, fair enough.
Buyback and dividend both are an option which are open, and we have done that. Last buyback was done in, towards the end of 2016.
Definitely.
So we are conscious of that, and but being in active discussion with some of the inorganic growth route. So as of now, we are conserving cash, but we are open for all these ideas.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Participants would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Alok Tripathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Well, I assume it is, I am Alok Tripathi, it is Mahbub. So, obviously, it has been a very disappointing year. And, at some point it gets the same issues. So what the previous investor brought out, that everybody is facing the same dollar rupee rate, the same. It's not that our system is having some unique exchange rate compared to others. So I think it is quite difficult to understand that every time you're sitting and explaining why our margins are lower and why, you know, and then this project got delayed or there is some collection issue or something. So, I mean, I think it is difficult to understand when every quarter we are spending time trying to explain that. And I guess the management has to give a better, answer and a better explanation than every time explaining why we are struggling for margins. So as a trend, obviously, the revenues have gone down over the years, the margins have gone down over the years. So it's to the point where either you put out now a clear projection for this year. If you're saying that we are doing our best to get to double digit, which by itself for technology companies is a low EBITDA margin. I mean, if you're talking about 6%, you know, you talk about legacy industries also have better margins. So if getting to 10% is the yardstick, I think that is a bit pathetic. But I guess as investors, we have to live with that at this point because that's where we are. So I obviously expect, hopefully there'll be a quarter sometime soon where we are not again struggling to just explain misses in margins and misses in revenue growth. And something we can, you know, talk about. Also, specifically if we are speaking about the last time there was conversation about the buyback and this and that. So I would like to understand that given this new capital gains tax, which has been proposed, and I think it is effective March 31st for any increase over December 31st rates. So given that, and that is important for investors who are long-term investors, so I would like to know the specific strategy of the company. That is there anything that before March 31st that you want to utilize this opportunity, which I think we should. So I guess it is just a little frustrating that every quarter we gather and we are trying to analyze the reason for the shrinking margins. So it's just my wish that hopefully this will be the last quarter and whatever we've been talking about, investing in analytics and investing in new sales and new technologies, I mean, that I've been hearing for the last 6 or 7 quarters. So it's about time that those investments started bearing fruit and we see much higher margins. So getting back to double digit is obviously not satisfactory. So I guess I would hope that you guys can put out some statement about a concrete management strategy on this and also about the buyback, obviously. All right? So,
Bhavuk, you have raised 2-3 points. One is on the margin. The second is on the buyback and third is on the double digit what I talked about. To answer one by one, I beg to differ with your statement. Between 2013 and 16, our EBITDA margin has ranged between 12-14%. Now, this time it is 6% and I have given reasons. You know, we have tried to find out reasons and we are genuine reasons. So, we have been between 12-14% in last previous to this year. On the...
I spoke about specific quarters. That last 4 or 6 quarters, you've been explaining them. So, if you go into those 6 quarters, and you can look at those margins for those 6 quarters. So, I'm not talking about...
Sure. I understand the last 4 quarters when the yearly we are making 6% EBITDA. So last 4 quarters we have been ranging between 4-8%. I agree with you. But, you know, I was trying to explain that previous 4 years we had good EBITDA percentages. My view on the double digit, what I said, it is based on the pipeline and the funnel we have as of now. As Mr. Rishi also said and I also explained, we have invested a lot and we have said that in earlier investor calls also in digital and analytics and recently in RP also, which I will explain last time. So all these results we have started receiving. We are getting the results. And we are quite hopeful that these are going to fuel our growth in the years to come, starting this year. So that is what we are saying. And also, Bhav, what we have done is that, you know, we have hired sales guys in line with the new technologies, because, you know, with legacy IT business and the new technologies. So all these things have been done. Additional sales guys have been put in place. So based on that and based on the funnel, I see quite optimistic on the double-digit growth. Having said that, I want you to be cautious on the quarter one. Quarter one is in quarter where we have to kick in some salary increments. And, you know, quarterly aberration, I cannot guarantee. But yearly double-digit EBITDA, I'm quite hopeful. But as we don't give any guidance. But I think based on the funnel, I feel quite positive about it. Coming on to your last point on this buyback, definitely we are, you know, whenever there is a board meeting, whenever there is an internal discussion, we keep on analyzing between buyback and dividend. And I agree with you that buyback is a better option than a dividend option. Having said that, Bhavuk, I don't want to make a committed statement, but we want to grow. We want to reach that 100 million mark as soon as possible. And there are companies on the radar. But what happens is that being a conservative company, we want to make sure that we don't do a wrong acquisition. So, you know, we have to decide between how to use cash. So we are fortunate to have good cash, and we will want to use that in, you know, growing the business. Having said that, buyback...
No. So on the one hand, you declare a board meeting for approving dividend 2-3 months ago. And on the other hand, you're talking about conserving cash for acquisition. So then if you're going to conserve cash, then can we start talking in terms of how to cut cash expenses? That how are you going to cut expenses for in every... So if there is a certain payout that investors, that you whatever you've had in mind for investors, so whether there is 10 crores, 5 crores or whatever, now, I mean, your sales expenses go up by 5 crores or your selling and general expenses go up by 5 crores or 6 crores. We are not sitting and getting into the nitty-gritty of that. Or if your you know, salaries or expenses for the overall staff that you have goes up by a certain amount. So let's not get into the what are you conserving cash for. I mean, I understand we need to do an acquisition. But a 5 crore or 10 crore buyback is not breaking your bank in terms of. So it is a matter of policy that is there anything that you've set aside for, you know, investor compensation? Because people are holding it for long term. And if there is a capital gains that is being introduced, which has been already announced. So obviously you have to take that into account because you want to be an efficient and smart company. So if there is a 10% capital gains that has been announced for long-term capital gains, and anything that is beyond March 31st is going to have significant impact due to that. So I'm hoping that you guys have some kind of a strategy in place for that because dividends always obviously are getting taxed at a higher rate. So whatever it is, and again, I was very specific in mentioning last 6 or 7 quarters. We've been talking. I did not talk about last 6 years. I said 6 quarters. We've been explaining why the margins are lower because of this, you know, a client went away and this project delay and then this bad debts and we didn't collect debts. They will come in. So something that was told to me 4 years ago, you know, when we spoke about that there was a write-off of some amount in Europe that was going to be written back. And, you know, so every time we gather and we talk about these things, so I'm just trying to express a little bit of frustration at that obviously that client goes away and then there is some, you know, bad debts that are written off in some quarter and because of that the margins are lower that quarter or there's further investment in new technology. So now you've already, you know, put in place this thing that don't expect the first quarter to be good. So again, so this quarter, then you're washing down the expectations that this quarter will be for us some other reasons. So I'm just trying to point out to you that whereas every other, what was pointed out earlier, that larger companies are able to manage their margins better. And we don't have to hear about explanations about, you know, every quarter the margins are expected lines. And that leads to a steadiness in that company's revenues and EBITDA margins. And which is, I'm hoping at some point we can also reach that point where we are not explaining away every quarter why the margins are fluctuated or the revenue has fluctuated. So I guess you have heard my point, so there's nothing more I want to add, but it is to the point where it is a bit perplexing and a little frustrating. So just wanted to let you know on that, but nothing else to add.
Well, Bhavuk, I understand your frustration, and whatever you have said, all are valid points, and we have always, you know, respect your views. So I understand that. See, the business issue, whatever happens, see, we do a quarterly call, whatever business issue come, whatever, you know, so we try to explain to the investor, and whatever the things are. So I think this is, as a management, it is our responsibility to explain to the investor, which we have been doing. On your buyback, I think the point is taken. Well, that 31st March, we will just consider it. And but you see, you know, we cannot relate everything to the tax and buyback. But having said that, I think good feedback. Let us internalize, and we'll announce it in the public forum.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star then one. We take the next question from the line of Jagdishwar Topo, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have three questions, or rather two, I would say. That your investment in subsidiaries through acquisition, they have not been very successful if I compare EBITDA margin, you know, vis-a-vis standalone entity. Is it audible, sir?
No, I think little louder is better.
Okay. Now, your acquisitions, they have not been very profitable if one compares EBITDA margin vis-a-vis the standalone entity. You know, and therefore, I'd like to know why you are still very much interested in acquiring a large company, and what are the steps you would like to take to turn around the subsidiaries company? If you can answer very specific entity-wise, let's say computer is, it has scaled up by hiring few people, but still margin is not visible. In terms of, let's say, Asian entities, and margin is not yet visible. I mean, and we don't see any actions in Asian entities. So if you can elaborate, you know, entities-wise, I would be glad. And I'll come back for the second question after you answer this.
Okay, Mr. Jagdishwar, thank you for asking this question. See, saying that investment in subsidiary is not successful, I think it is not a fair assessment. See, I tell you, our system is a global company. See, our Noida is our corporate headquarters, where we do a lot of offshore development work. We have presence in US through subsidiaries, in Europe through subsidiaries, and in Southeast Asia. So, I agree with you that the performance of our India center, Noida, has been one of the best. And, you know, you can see standalone numbers and console number, and it is quite reflected. But having said that, see, our subsidiary presence in US, Europe, it is equally important because Noida is getting business on the back of presence in overseas. And each overseas subsidiary has been contributing. But of course, in some of the quarters or years, the performance has been varying. To answer your question specifically, US subsidiary is our R System Inc. Majority it is R System Inc. There we do a consulting business as well as the project business. There, but you know, we have our sales presence in R System Inc. through our branch of Noida company. So it is our sales footprint to get sales in the US. So that is very important for us. To answer, the company has been profitable. The EBITDA margins range between 4 to 5%. This year, maybe a little less, maybe 2 to 3%, because overall our EBITDA margin is 6%. So this time it is maybe 2 to 3%. But overall, it has been between 5 to 6% in previous years. And the US subsidiary, Europe subsidiary, this year performance has not been good. This is because of there has been one of the projects which they got earlier in 2017. There has been some delay in execution, and we have been trying. So there's some fixed overhead has happened, and because of that, the computer subsidies and the challenging had a challenging year this year. And coming to Singapore, Singapore has performed very well during this year. And they have between four, I think more than 5% EBITDA during this year. So Singapore has been done well. So that is to answer your question. And in Singapore, we have two, three businesses actually, if you know that we have ERP business, we have consulting business, and we have supply chain business. So all business have performed reasonably well this year, and our EBITDA is more than 5% this year.
So coming to the next question, I mean, let's say if your target is a double digit for the subsidiary company margin as well.
Speak a little bit louder, please.
So let's say if you want to see your subsidiary companies deliver, let's say, double digit margin, what are the three specific steps that you are taking to ensure that these companies deliver, you know, double digit margin?
Very
three
good
specific steps, yeah. Three specific steps.
Yes. The specific steps we have taken is, as I said, that this year our utilization has not been that good. Our utilization is lesser compared to last year. And we feel that it is possible to increase utilization between 3 to 5%. I tell you, for any company to have increase in margin, utilization is the most important and controllable factor. We are committed to increase our utilization by 3 to 5%. I'm telling you, 3 to 5% increase in utilization straight away yield 3 to 5 or more than 3 to 5% increase. Supposing, I'm just telling you, if I increase my utilization by 3%, the increase in EBITDA will be more than 3%. It may be because the cumulative effect will be around 4% or little higher than that. So this is the first step which we are focusing, and we are committed to that. Each of the subsidiaries has been working on that, and they are conscious of that. Second factor is, as you know, is an exchange, rupee-dollar exchange, which is not in our control. But it mostly affects the India business. In India business, if rupee appreciates, then the margin gets impacted. For other units, the impact is minimal in this sense. The exchange factor may be there, growth factor may be there, but on the margin, it doesn't make much of the impact. Okay, so this is also we are, and third is that growth. See, we are committed to grow the business. As soon as we grow the business, so what happens is straight away, whatever gross margin happens, flows to the EBITDA. So all these three factors, other than the exchange, rest factors, we are trying to kind of, you know, have more and more threatening. And thirdly, as I was telling in my presentation that, you know, the investment made in analytics and new technologies, we have started yielding results. And we, the funnel is quite strong. Our existing clients are moving towards analytics and digital, you know, and, you know, more and more practice is laid on that. And this is going to result in profitable growth and better profitability in this year.
My third question is, sir, every year investors used to get payback in terms of buyback or dividend. And 2017 year, we did not see any. You had announced dividend, but you did not, you know, pursue that route because of taxes and all. And therefore, you know, company is sitting close to about 160 crore of cash. Therefore, I would like to know whether your dividend policy, not dividend policy, payback policy, I mean, investors' payback policy or shareholder payback policy, has it changed structurally, or you would pursue, you know, some buyback given, you know, very, very specific, you know, long-term capital gain tax now has been imposed. So, I mean, has it changed? Has your payback policy changed? That is what I would like to know.
I have already answered this question earlier, but let me just once again, I'll try to summarize it. See, we understand between dividend and buyback, buyback is more tax friendly. We understand that. And in fact, during 2016 and 2015, we have done buybacks also. Having said that, we keep on analyzing that, and as you have also said that in last October and November, we announced that we will do a dividend, but then some internal discussions happened, and we postponed that. Having said that, regarding the policy, you see, you have to keep a balance between growth and the payment to the shareholder. As of now, we are hungry for growth. We want to grow, both organically as well as inorganically. Both of these options require cash. You know that, right? So organically, we have taken steps. We are doing that. Inorganically, also, we are actively looking at some acquisitions. So as of now, as late as in the last board meeting, we have preferred over growth over dividend. Having said that, we have a policy of rewarding the shareholder, and we keep on analyzing that. We will discuss again, we take the feedback from the investor. We will analyze that and discuss with the board and take a suitable decision.
May I ask one more question, if you permit me?
Yes.
So what I would, like to, suggest, you may not want to take it. The way you are, growing your cash in the balance sheet, it is giving a signal that company is not very comfortable about its future in terms of operating performance. And clearly, that was what we saw in 2017 performance. The margin collapsed, top line did not grow, and because of various factors. And with that, we continue to, one would still believe that, the signal which is coming out, is that the future, you're trying to portray is still may not be, certain, if you're sitting on the cash. And therefore, I would advise that, at least some amount of cash may be paid back to the shareholder, in most tax-efficient manner. And that would also give a sense or signal that things are in place as far as our system is concerned. I mean, your response to that, please.
Mr. Jagdish, I think the signal and all that, I don't understand what signal people get and what signal shareholders get. But I tell you very clearly that, you see, you have to kind of, always any acquisition, believe me, I mean, you must be knowing, and but let me just repeat that. See, any serious acquisition, you start working today, it takes at least 6 to 9 months time to, handle that. And you see, we have in the past, in one or two acquisitions, we reached to a kind of, an advanced stage, but we could, because of some reason, it could not be concluded. So, to be honest with you, there is no signal as such. We want to grow, so that is the reason we are conserving cash. Having said that, we have heard about buyback options and all that. Give us some time to kind of think over, and we'll try to see what is the best use of cash.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Mohan Krishnaswamy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just coming back to the point which the earlier investor raised, because we have declared dividends and talking of buybacks and keeping money for acquisitions when we had far more lower levels of cash. I mean, we've been comfortable at least with 100 crore cash, but we have announced buybacks and dividends which are significant magnitude when we had 100, 110 crores of cash. Now we are sitting at a level which is at a historic high for us, which is good. But surprisingly, we've kind of scaled back on both the options, which I agree with the earlier investors, suggests that there is a concern which is there in the mind of the board, which is what is worrying us from outside. So, I mean, you could answer it the way you want it.
Yeah, Mr. Swami, I mean, there is no concern. To be honest with you, I have already answered this question, but I will repeat once again that we will analyze. We have heard the feedback about rewarding to shareholder through dividend or buyback. We heard that. We will consider that, definitely. Having said that, as of now, the reason of conserving cash was to do some inorganic growth, which we are actively looking at. We have said that in all of our earlier investor call also. But having said that, I have got the feedback. Give us some time to think over. Hello?
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Thanks.
Yes. Just an answer? Okay.
Thanks, yeah.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad.
I think there are no further questions we can pose.
Yes, sir. We don't have any questions in the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Riki Singh for closing comments.
I want to thank everybody, Bhavuk, Krishnaswamy, Jagdish, for all your questions and everybody else for being a part of this conference call. We come to the end of this call and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of R Systems, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.